Back in one place? This is not part of my sermon. Never mind. What? I didn't know we even had one, or I would have asked for it a long time ago. Wow. That's good to know for the next time. Thank you. Cliffhanger. You know what? Called by name, I sort of feel like there's a lot of people this morning already who have been called by name to do things they didn't expect to do. And, you know, we've already had the sermon. It's sort of amazing how God works and orchestrates things. Yeah, okay. Have an accident here before I begin. Some of you may not know me. Bob and I have, my husband sitting here with me, have moved to Haines rather recently, about a year and a half ago. And so I'm just introducing myself. My name is Christy. And part of my sermon is to talk about who am I. And we're called by name. So it's important that you know my name. I am called by Christy, at least here in Alaska. So, how does it happen, this being called by name? I was thinking about that, and Ron had called me and wanted to know my sermon title and what I was going to talk about kind of at the beginning of the week because he wanted to get it in the bulletin, and I really didn't have it together, and I sort of had pieces of it, and I was getting a little bit like, Wednesday came around, and I still hadn't really, I got all kinds of bits and pieces, but I really didn't know how to begin. And so Tuesday night, I said, Lord, I really need some help. It's, you know, going to be Wednesday tomorrow, and Sunday's coming. And so I got up on Wednesday morning, and my devotion was amazing. And I realized that the answers sometimes come while we are living life. And that was the first point of called by name. We are called by name while we are living life. You were living life this morning, and you were called to do something that you had not planned. And you were called. You were called by name while you were living life. And that's how Jesus works. He calls us while we're living life. Think about the scripture that was read about the disciples. What were they doing? They were living life. They were fishermen. They were doing what they do. What about Samuel, a little boy? He was just living his life, being good, going to bed, sleeping, and trying to answer when he thought Eli is calling him. He was just living life. And God comes in the midst of living life. And he calls us by name. So perhaps that's the first point of my sermon this morning. We get a nudge. We get a phone call. Have you ever had a nudge to go do something, write a letter, take soup to somebody, go do something? It's God calling by his Holy Spirit in you to respond. Listen for those moments in the midst of life where God is calling you by name. And it often comes, the second point, as an answer to prayer. Consider Hannah. How long had Hannah been praying? She wanted a child. It came, Samuel came as the answer to prayer. He was called, Samuel was called before he was even born as an answer to prayer. Have you prayed lately? And did you hear God answer and call you by name with his answer? I'm sure some of these people this morning, Dawn, was praying, Lord, somebody needs to answer, I'm sick. And who did he call? His wife. Susan. He calls us by name in the answer to prayer. And I got thinking about that. And again, God gives us what we need across our desks, across our life in daily living. And last Wednesday, my devotions that I mentioned earlier, I'm just going to read this. Over 80 years ago, I just turned 80. I know how long that is. It's a long time. Some businessmen were gathered together for a prayer meeting. This was not their first time getting together, but they were deeply concerned about the need for revival in USA. And I thought, wow, God, 80 years ago they were praying for that. We need to go back to prayer. I think we still need a revival. But they were deeply concerned. One man suggested they pray that God would raise up someone from Charlotte, North Carolina, to spread the good news to the ends of the earth. You know where this is going. They were on a dairy farm, and unknown to them, there was a young man in the barn, 15 years old. Is there anyone here around that age, 15 years old, in the front row here? Are you listening? He had not yet given his heart to the Lord. He was the son of the owner of the farm. God heard those businessmen, and he answered their prayer. And the young man that was called by name later said, "A mystery and a wonder of prayer is that God waits until someone asks." That was Billy Graham, a man called in the answer to prayer. Let me just insert in here, as I was preparing this, I realized we have an opportunity right here in this congregation to ask for the Lord to send someone, to call them by name. So I just want you to right now, you know, do it now. Don't put it off. Let's just take a moment. And would someone just lead us in prayer that God would answer our prayer and call someone by name? I invite someone in the congregation. Let's just pray. Amen. Thank you. Call by name. So, do you know your name? Do you know your name? It's very interesting. I have a bag full of things here. Because when I was born, my parents named me Ellen Marjorie Christie Johnston. Christie Johnston was a hyphenated name. It was my surname. Do we use that name, surname, last name? I think that's what they put on forms now. They say last name. Used to be surname. My surname was Christie hyphen Johnston. So my name really isn't Christie. And so I grew up being called Wee Marjorie because my mother's name was Ellen Marjorie, and I was named after my mother, Ellen Marjorie. She went by Marjorie, and I went by Marjorie, so I was Wee Marjorie. And I was Wee because I was the shortest in my family. I have 5 brothers and 2 sisters, and they're all taller than me. So I really didn't like being Wee Marjorie. I would much rather have been 6 foot tall. But anyway, that's another story. And so I grew up with people calling me Marjorie. But I also grew up with a lot of other names written on me. Some of those names I didn't like either. I grew up with some abuse from my father was a pastor, a Presbyterian, Scottish Presbyterian pastor, the Presbyterian. You're all supposed to laugh. Anyway, I grew up in a Christian home. But some of my father's friends abused me, and I could never tell my father that. They were pastor friends. How would you do that? I was abused by my brother, so I had a lot of names. I was lonely. I was afraid. I just imagine lots and lots of names that were written on me. And I'm sure some of you kids in school, you get names that you don't like. You're called stupid, or you're called a failure, or you didn't make the team, or different kinds of names. And we grow up with these names, and they're not really who we are. So I left home when I was 21, and I came to America. And what an amazing change happened when I came to America, and I'm all tangled up. That makes me think of a little song, wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus. Are you wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus? And I think that's what's happening. Lord help. So, I have all these name tags that I have gathered through the years that different people have given me, but they are all ones that were made in America. And they all say, Christy, what happened to wee Marjorie? When I came and crossed the ocean and came to America, I met my husband, and I was living with my grand aunt, a woman in her 80s, and she never had any children, and she and her husband were suddenly looking after a 21-year-old, and they'd never had children before, and they didn't really know what to do with me. So they took me to the church where they went, and Bob sang in the choir there, and introduced me to the young people's group that met every Sunday night. And my great aunt was a woman who was very formal. In those days, we never introduced people by their first name. We always called them Miss or Master or Mister. And so she introduced me as Miss Christy Johnston. Well, in those days, we didn't have a lot of hyphenated names. And so everyone thought, oh, Christy Johnston. And so everyone started calling me Christy. And I got so tired of explaining, no, my name is Marjorie. And I just gave up. And so I had a new name, and it was really wonderful. I became Christy. So Christy doesn't have to have all those other names anymore. I'm a new person, and I grew my hair long, and I started going out with young men who were Christians. I'm in America, and I am here for 3 months of fun. And then I'm going on to the UK, back to where I was born, to finish my education, get my second degree in nursing. That was the plan. And so I have all these name tags that say who I am now. New name, Christy. One side it says Christy. On the other side it says Christy Loney. I had another name change. Because I married this man 6 weeks later after I met him, he proposed. And so what can you do? It's time to change your name. My parents were not very happy about that. You can't possibly know someone in 6 weeks. So you just need to continue with the plan and go on to the UK where you're going to become ready to come back to Australia and follow your dream out to the wilderness working among Aborigines. That was the plan. Well, you all know. I said, I do, to my husband, and I became Christy Loney. A lot of things change when you say, I do. I've said, I do more than once. Before I met my I do husband, I said, I do to Jesus Christ. And that was the most important called by name. And that's the one that we need to hear today for all of us. This one is very special. It says Christy Loney, and it has a hummingbird. Somebody made this for me because hummingbirds are our blessing bird. The very first date that I had with my husband, I had no idea he was going to be my husband. We were having a little picnic. And as he'd laid everything all out by the river, and we are saying grace. The moment he started to say grace, I knew he was the man I was going to marry. I needed a man who put Jesus first. God had called him by name. And as he prayed, I knew. I wished he'd asked me right then. I would have said yes. But he waited 6 weeks. What took him so long? 6 weeks. And then when he did ask me, I was so overwhelmed, I said, I'll have to think about it. That's another story. But the ribbon around my name tag is purple. I'm wearing purple today. Why? What is purple? What does it signify? Royalty. Royalty. Are you royal? Are you a son or daughter of the king? Hey, let me hear. Yes. Do you know the king? Has he called you by name? Maybe some of you in here have not heard that call, and you don't know that you're a son or a daughter of the king. When I was in Taiwan on a mission trip many years ago, somebody in our group gave me a rose, gave all the women in the group a rose. And the next morning, we were going to be leaving and taking a train and traveling all day to the southern part of Taiwan. And I thought, what am I going to do with this beautiful rose? By the time I get there, it'll be dead. And as I got in the elevator and I'm coming down, we're going to catch a taxi and go to the train, a Taiwanese woman got on. Remember the nudge, called by name? And Jesus said, give it to her. And I thought, I don't know her. And he said, give it to her. Well, the elevator's coming down, and I didn't have much time, and the door's opening, and it's time to get off, and so I really quickly gave her the rose, and she just kind of looks at me, and I say, you know, please take the rose. And so she took it. We never spoke, and she got off, and she headed up the street, and I went to get in the taxi, and the Lord said, you didn't tell her why you gave her the rose. And I thought, well, I gave it because you said give her the rose. And he said, no, you need to go tell her why. And I thought, oh, hold the taxi. I've got to run after that young woman. And I'm running up the road thinking, God, what am I going to say? What if she doesn't speak English? I can't speak Taiwanese. Why am I, you know, what am I going to do? And I'm running with the rose. And I catch up with her and tap her on the shoulder, and she turns around and looks at me so surprised. And I said, do you know Jesus? And she says, in perfect English, yes. I know Jesus. He's my Savior, and God is my Father. I'm the daughter of the King. Wow. I thought I was going to have an opportunity to bring someone to Jesus and be a missionary. But she already knew. And then she says, do you know Jesus? And I said, yes. And she was so excited, she said, then you are my sister. We belong to the family of God, the King. And she hugged me, and I said goodbye, and I never got her name, but I will know I will see her in heaven. We are part of royalty, and so we wear purple. Purple is the color of the king's family. So I'm wearing purple. I always said, when I get old, I'm going to wear purple. Why did I wait so long? I'm also wearing tartan because I'm Scottish. I'm a Scottish royal daughter of the king. That came first before I said yes to Jesus and yes to my husband. Know who you are. What is your identity? Inside the bulletin, you will find a little piece of paper that tells us our true identity. There isn't time today to read all these scriptures. So I put it there for you to take home and read sometime today or tomorrow or another day. Know who you are and whose you are. You are a son or a daughter of the king, and you belong to the royal family. Wow, prince and princesses. But maybe there are some here, we assume everyone knows when they come to church that they are already called by name. But maybe there's someone here this morning who doesn't know who has never been called by name. I want to just take a moment and pause. Maybe a young child here that God is nudging. Maybe someone who's come every Sunday and we think they're a believer. Heavenly Father, maybe you are calling them by name today. Right now, you're touching their hearts and they came today because you are calling them. Just like you called Samuel. He didn't know your voice. And then he heard Eli say, "Answer, here I am, Lord." If you are one of those, Lord, I just ask that you would touch their hearts and change their name and write a new name, daughter or son of the Most High God. Oh, Lord, we just give you the praise and glory. Hallelujah. Amen. There were many names changed in Scripture. And that might be something you might like to spend a little bit of time looking in the Bible. Who are the names that were changed? Who are they? Abraham wasn't always Abraham. Sarah wasn't always Sarah. Go through God's Word and find the names. What names has God changed or other people? Esther. She wasn't always called Esther. Hosea. Saul. Who did he become? Paul. Many names have been changed. But again, it comes to that place of, do we know the voice of the one who calls? Remember Samuel? Who did he think was calling? Eli. Three times he heard the voice, but he didn't know the voice. He didn't know it was Jesus calling. There's another voice. There's the voice of the deceiver. Satan gets in the way sometimes of us hearing the voice of God. And I can remember, there isn't time to tell the story, of when I first began to know the difference between the voice of Satan and the voice of Jesus Christ. We need to know the difference, or we can be led astray. We can walk down a wrong path following a voice that is not the Lord, and we end up in deep trouble. How do we come to that place of knowing the voice of Jesus? How do we discern the difference? And that is my last point that I would like to make. Knowing the Lord happens as we live our daily life. Knowing Jesus is as we walk. Hearing his voice over and over, it becomes familiar and distinctive. But you have to begin with the listening and the seeking and the searching, being in God's word, knowing your true identity. Read those scriptures. Know who you are. And when somebody comes along or a voice comes and calls you something opposite that, who is saying that? Is that Jesus? No. But you have to know who you are. Who are you? Who are you? Who does Jesus, what does he call you? He calls you beloved. My daughter, my son, my child. Know who you are in Christ. In Christ. In Christ, who are you? You are a new creation. Your name has been changed. You're no longer. There's a song, and I asked if we could sing it this morning, but I used to sing lonely, outcast, afraid. I don't sing that anymore. Why? Because I know that's not the truth. That's a lie. Jesus died for me. He bought me at a price. And he says, you are mine. You belong to me. I am your Savior, the one who paid for you. Come to me. Come to me. Let me love you. What did we say at the beginning? I wrote it on the bulletin, if I can find the bulletin somewhere here. Never mind. We sang at the beginning some words that were really important. What were the words at the very beginning? No, it was the prelude. What were the words of the prelude? Go back and find the words to the prelude, because they speak to us about who we are and about how God loves us. Love. When Bob and I were called to go to China, I remember saying, Lord, I don't know the language. I think you're calling us to pray for the Chinese. You're not calling us to go. And God said, no, I'm calling you to go. Go and love my people. I will give you the language. The language is love. God so loved the world that what did he do? He gave his only son that whosoever, are you a whosoever? Whosoever believes in him shall get a new name. They won't perish. They shall not perish because God has bought you at a price and you belong to him. He loves you and he has written love across your forehead, across your heart, across your life. Each of us are called by name. And we are called. My last point, why? Why are we called? What is the purpose of the call? I found this poem. We are called to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, and to make music in their hearts. That's a tall order. That's a lot of things that we are called to do. We are called to find the lost. Do you know anyone that's lost? Just this week, I had a letter from a young man who's in his 20s, and he's been in South Sudan working among what we call an UPG, Unreached People Group. These people are called Lerim. And just this last week, the very first person among the Lerim people heard the call, heard God call him by name, and he asked to be baptized. And so they had a great big drum. They couldn't go to the river. They couldn't baptize him. And so they had filled jugs with water and filled up this great big tub thing. And they sent a picture of this young man standing in it with a smile as white as the ocean. He had just been baptized and been given a new name. And there's a lot to the story that there isn't time to share with you today. But God called that young man by name to come and accept him into his life, into his heart. And he left to go back and tell his wife and his children and the people in his village about this. Do you remember stories in scripture how they go back and tell a whole village comes to the Lord? We've heard those stories, the woman at the well. And she went back, and what happened? A whole village came, called by name. Wow. When the song of the angel is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes have gone home, and when the shepherds are back with the flocks, the work of Christmas begins. We are called by name to go ye therefore into all the world to find the lost, to teach the found, and to send the trained. It's a cycle. We are called by name with a purpose. But then we come to the last scripture that was read from Revelation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, what will Jesus do? He will come in, not only come in, but eat with us. This is maybe the most important piece of why we are called by name. From Genesis to Revelation, this is why God is calling our name. Do you remember in the Garden of Eden? He says, what? Adam. He called him by name. And he wants to know, where are you? Why? He wants to have relationship. But we sinned in Genesis 3. It didn't take very long into the Bible, did it? 3 short chapters and we're already in a mess. We've been called by name, but we heard the deceiver. And we followed the wrong voice. We need to know Jesus is calling. I'm standing at the door. Open the door and I will come in. He wants relationship. Yes, we are called to go out. But more than that, we first of all have to have that relationship with Jesus that gives us something to go out with. Every day we need that relationship with him. He is longing for you to open the door of your heart and say, come in and eat with me. There's no handle on the outside of that door. The handle is on the inside. He won't open the door. He waits for you to invite him to come in. If you've not invited him today, it's a daily inviting. Yesterday's food won't last very long. We need to invite Jesus every day, all day. Oh, Lord, come, Lord Jesus, come. Let us hear your voice calling and know that it is your voice. Come. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, Father, our heart desire is to come. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. We give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' precious name.